The following program contains mature subject matter. It is designed to glorify Jesus Christ and His word. The words of the Bible in and let's see what the King has to say. Did the King give us a perfect book? Yes, sir. 1611 authorized King James Bible.
Bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. Lord, you created me to bring forth fruit. You are the vine, I am your branch. Help me abide in you and bring forth fruit. Lord, help me abide in you and bring forth much fruit. Lord, help me abide in you and bring forth much fruit.
Welcome to the broadcast. I am David Hoffman, and I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church of Rensselaer and the First Baptist Church of Lowell. Well, since the beginning of the year, I've been going on certain topics, certain questions that may be asked. Okay, so we're going to continue down that one today. Before that, a newsworthy event. Let's see, this one is coming out of Britain. A popular British preacher has introduced a DVD teaching series for Christians. Oh, we're so excited about this. It's called The Just 10 for Churches. Just 10, what's that referring to? Referring to the Ten Commandments. It is a revamping and modern rewording of the Ten Commandments. What does that mean? It means he's changed it. That's what that means. This here feller has changed the moral codes, including a list of the thou shalt nots, have been given a modern twist by Canon J. John, a Christian speaker who has authored dozens of books, some on making God's top 10 found in Exodus 20 more personable to believers. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, is now prosper with a clear conscience. I discovered that people that have a clear conscience often just have a bad memory. The thou shalt not commit adultery has been changed to a fair proof your relationships. Oh, isn't that so nice and loving and cushy? And that just makes me want to hug a teddy bear. Okay, let's see what else this knucklehead has done. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Mr. J. John has interpreted that to mean,
take God seriously.
Where God instructs in the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, the Just 10 series presents it as,
keep peace with your parents.
In other words, try to manipulate them to get your way. This is a knucklehead out in Britain that over 600 churches, or by 600 churches, so 600 knuckleheads running the church, who thinks that they're smarter than God. That's what you call apostasy. That's what that is called. They wouldn't know a Bible if they saw it placed in front of them. They wouldn't even know how to hold it right side up. Well, with that in mind, we have a song, and then we'll get into our lesson for today. The topic for today, or the question for today, is can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? Can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? I don't know if you are aware of this, that there has been technology for several years, since 1983 at least, of the powers that be wanting to put a little computer chip within one's body. Of course, they always pass it off as for your good in case your little chili gets kidnapped. And so this biochip has been introduced a few years back, 1983. Obviously, first off with animals. And now I think the military is even considering starting to use it, if they have not already. In January of 1999, the CNN conducted a poll about microchips and asked, would you consider having microchips implanted in your body? Back then, 47% said yes, 53% no. That's pretty close there, half and half almost. I bet you today the yeses would far exceed the noes with modern body piercing, and the tackle box of the fishing industry probably has really dropped in stock because a lot of people just put it on their face. But the idea of this is probably more, people are more conducive to do it now. And with the idea of identity theft, this no doubt will be pushed to the next limit. Okay, so, but the idea, that doesn't mean that I believe the microchipping is the mark of the beast. No, far from it. I don't think it's a part of it. I do believe it's part of tracking people, taking away your liberties. But can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? That's an interesting topic. That almost falls in line with the idea of committing the unpardonable sin. Can a Christian commit that? And I discussed that probably 2 or 3 months back. Okay, and probably one of the most important things, the most important verse on studying the Bible is recorded in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, I just quoted that verse from memory. And if you happen to look at that in your Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, if the word study is not in the first word in the verse, then, well, what can you do with that book? You can put it in file 13. You could set it up for target practice to shoot at. Throw darts at it, you know, a dartboard, that wouldn't be a half bad idea. Tear the pages out of it and line your bird cage, that might be appropriate. 2 Timothy 2:15 must have the word study, the very first word, as it's found in a pure Bible. All the new Bibles take the word study out, and most of them, many of them, take the word divide out, rightly dividing the word of truth, and those of utmost importance. Though that right there, if you understand that great doctrinal truth of studying Bible techniques, that will answer your question, can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? Or can a Christian commit the unpardonable sin? It'll answer the question. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. If a preacher does not preach from a Bible that has the word study in 2 Timothy 2:15, he is handling the word of God deceitfully. He has a book that has been corrupted. Now, before a person can really understand this idea, can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? Assuming the word Christian means born again believer. In order to understand that, we must understand a mysterious doctrine that the Bible writes about. In fact, Paul writes about it. He's the only one that really technically writes directly about it. It's a mysterious doctrine. It is one of the seven major mysteries that Paul writes about in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 says we are to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. Now go ask your preacher or preacheress if they can name 3 of the 7 mysteries. If they cannot, I would walk right out the door and not go back. If they're not faithfully teaching the 7 mysteries, then they are not faithful to their task as a believer, let alone even knowing what they are. But there's one mystery called, in the Bible, it's called the mystery of a translation. Okay, that's the Bible word, translation. A common word that helps describe it, which is, you know, the definition of the word, is the word rapture. What about Christians after the rapture? What is the rapture? Like I said, the Bible word is translation. Enoch is in type a picture of a born-again believer
who is alive when the rapture, a very loud trumpet will sound. Very, very loud. People will think the atomic bomb went off. And calls Christians, born-again people, out of this world system. Rapture is a very good word, describing it, because, you know, it's like somebody who is to snatch or catch away. He's been enraptured with something. Enoch is a picture of that. Enoch never died, and he will not die. Prior to the flood, he was raptured or translated from this world to the new world or the next world into eternity. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 writes about this translation. Okay, where he was here on planet Earth at a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye, he was taken out. You say, how long is a twinkling of an eye? About as long as a person behind you at the stoplight beeps the horn when the light turns green and wants to get you going. No, actually, it's faster than that. Now, Enoch, it was translated prior to the judgment of this world in Noah's day. Now, I know a lot of preachers have abandoned the rapture because they think that Americans need to suffer persecution. And if they're not suffering persecution, then the rapture can't be right. Well, the problem with that mentality is that you think the Bible revolves around America. It doesn't. The Bible revolves around Israel. And Christians in Israel do suffer persecution. And if you're not being persecuted or harassed or going through some suffering, I guess you're not living godly enough. Because 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, Enoch was translated out of here. Christians in Saudi Arabia are suffering. Christians in North Korea are suffering. Christians in Iran, in Iraq, in the Sudan, in Egypt, are suffering. Christians in Turkey are suffering. Christians in China are suffering. Christians in Vietnam are suffering. Just because the carnal, worldly, so-called Christians in America aren't suffering doesn't mean that we're going to take the Bible and try to force America into the Bible. No, if the Bible is true, America will turn against Israel. Will actually turn against them and fight against them. Now, what can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? Well, when does the mark of the beast get instituted? It is instituted during a time that the Bible calls Jacob's trouble. Not the church's trouble, but Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is a continuation of what's called the prophecy that Daniel envisioned in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, called Daniel's 70 weeks. We have the advantage of hindsight, and we discovered now that the 70 weeks refers to 70 sets of 7 years, as Jesus told his apostles to forgive 70 times 7. Now, these 70 weeks are culminated when the nation of Israel is pardoned for their sins as a nation. This has not taken place. The first 69 weeks plus 3 days took place at Calvary. I mean, that's when it was culminated, at Calvary. How do I know that? 69 weeks, the completion of the 69 weeks is when Jesus walked into rode the colt, the foal of an ass, into Jerusalem. After 70, those weeks, is when Jesus Christ was crucified. So the sand clock was probably still moving forward. So now we are in a time period called a church time period, church age. So the 70 weeks have been put on hold. God has taken the time clock of the 70 weeks and by his omnipotent hand and picked it up and turned it on its side. And so there are probably, I would guess, my guess would be 2,300 days left of the 77 years of what's commonly known as Daniel's 70th week. So, just a few, like 200 or so days until God actually stopped the sand clock. Now, Daniel's 69 weeks, if you understand rightly divided word of God, it operated during a time period when a person received righteousness or was declared righteous by faith and works. He was not declared saved or justified. This is why in the Old Testament a person is righteous or wicked. In the New Testament, saved or lost. No one was born again in the Old Testament. The very first person who was born of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we dealt with a different doctrinal time period. And so this is what's going to make the tribulation different than the church age time period. During the church time period, a person is born again by faith in Jesus Christ. No works are needed for salvation. Works are needed for walk and fellowship, but no works are needed for salvation, for birth. Birth is by belief. Growth is when a person must work at things. If you do not grow, you do not forfeit your birthrights. You do not forfeit your birth. So, what is the promise for the New Testament believer that Paul revealed to them? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, this is the resurrection chapter, he writes about a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Notice it's very loud. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. That's a mystery. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a mystery. It is mysterious that God will pull out of this world his chosen, his children, and bring them into heaven to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The church will be, the born-again believers will be facing their judgment of their works at the judgment seat of Christ during Jacob's trouble. It's called a time of trouble. No time like it on earth. Matthew 24 writes about it. This is when the mark of the beast plus 666 will be instituted. They are two separate things. So the born-again believer who is born again in Jesus Christ, who has eternal security in Jesus Christ, cannot take the mark of the beast because he or she is raptured or translated out of this world prior to God continuing the 70th week of Daniel. 1 Thessalonians writes about this, and this is where Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant. That phrase is found seven times in the New Testament, six by Paul, one by Peter. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Their souls. For this we say that you unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Prevent, pre-event, pre-event, go beforehand. I mean, their body's 6 feet down or wherever it's at, who knows, but they got to get a little head start, I guess. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, it is a very loud thing. When God spoke at Mount Sinai, and when he spoke to Jesus, the people who did not understand the words thought it thundered. The world, when they hear this sonic boom, will think that there was an atomic explosion, and people will be missing. How many? Who knows? It's hard to say. All born-again believers that have the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior, and he is in their body. Not professing ones. A lot of people claim to be Christian. We got a president of the White House that claims to be Christian. And he is no more a Christian than I am a monkey on Mars. Okay, as far as the Bible term of being born again. Okay, and so, I mean, the evidence, the fruit is definitely Muslim. That's where the fruit is at. Definitely Muslim or Marxist. So, this wonderful event called the rapture, called in the Bible a translation, it's actually part of what's called the first resurrection, which is divided in three parts, where the first fruits arose from the dead with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the main harvest is what we call the rapture. The gleanings will be a post-tribulation rapture at the end of the tribulation. You see, the believer is not ordered in the Bible to look for the Antichrist, for the mark of the beast, or the number 666. We are told to look for the blessed hope. That's right. Look for the blessed hope. The born-again believer is saved from the wrath to come. And when you look at Revelation, you'll see Revelation 1, 2, and 3, where the church is there. And chapter 4 will be what is will be made known to the born-again believer immediately after the rapture. So if you want to find out what you're going to see after you are taken out of this world in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, read Revelation 4 and 5. The born-again believer is to look for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come is another designation of what is commonly called the tribulation. The mark of the beast, 666, it's when God's wrath is poured out upon Israel for crucifying their Messiah, and it's poured out on the world system for killing God's people Israel, and for what they have done to the Lord Jesus Christ for eons of time. You know, for going on 6,000 years, if you want to back it up to Noah's day, about 4,300 years, something like that. So this is a great promise. So the salvation plan reverts back to Old Testament salvation. So very simply speaking, can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? Well, it depends what you mean by Christian. If you're talking a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the answer is absolutely no. If it's a Christian like Obama claims to be, most definitely yes. And so with that, we'll add a little bit more to this and kind of go into the idea of the mark of the beast and the number next week, Lord willing. And in closing, I would pray that you would study the Bible of God's choice.